You want to know what time it is? It's time to bring the rain.
Zinc Media. Feel the power of knowledge.
It is Thursday morning, August number 30 in the year of our Lord 2018. I am your lovable host, Elrod, coming to you live from the Bunker Eye Studio. The last week that I will be broadcasting directly from the Bunker Eye Studio for a little while as they get back in here to do some carpentry work. And they'll be swinging hammers and drilling drills and drilling holes and doing all that kind of stuff that people who build tear stuff apart and build stuff back up do. So we'll have to temporarily relocate to another location while all the noise is going on. Because otherwise, you just can't do a show when people are swinging hammers behind your head. That doesn't work very well. So anyway, today we are from the Bunker Eye Studio, located somewhere within the great granite state of New Hampshire, where the state motto is still live free or die. It is not big government or bust. And indeed, the state of New Hampshire is considered one of the top five best run states in the union. I know we get a bunch of liberals that move into the state that want to change that and make us more like one of the worst run states. But we always do very well here. And by the way, we're a state that does not have a general income tax or a general sales tax. We don't have either one of those. And we are not a state with the highest property tax rates either. And even, I know there are people that come here, well, this town has got some high rates. Well, that's the town. There are some towns with some really, really low property tax rates. So it's not even the entire state has high property taxes. Some of them are pretty low. But still, the whole point is that our property taxes are still lower than some states that surround us that also have an income and or sales tax. People are getting killed with taxes in Massachusetts. That's why they're coming to New Hampshire. But then they're voting here in New Hampshire the same way that they voted in Massachusetts, which led to the high taxes in the first place. I never understood that. You know, y'all want to escape high taxes, but then you vote and bring people in that want the same stuff from the state that you left. I think we've got a couple of candidates running here in New England that are like that. They're not originally from New England. They've come from outside New England, but they're liberals. And they're bringing that outside liberalism into New England, especially here into this state. And they're trying to screw things up here. I guess misery loves company. California and New York are miserable. And instead of making themselves better, they would love some misery, some company in their misery. So they want the rest of the 48 states to be miserable, too. I guess that's the way it works. I don't. So when you get to, places like Florida, and now you've got this, well, was he 38, 39 years old down there out at the mayor of Tallahassee? Yeah, go. Hey, I'm Mayor Tallahassee. I know he's black, so he probably doesn't sound like he's a Southern hick, but let's just flow with this, will you? I'm Mayor Tallahassee. You know, down here, we're doing pretty well because of the economy. Economy's picking up. Now, what I think we need is a $15 an hour minimum wage statewide. Yes, that's what we need. We need to have Medicare and Medicaid for all. Oh, yeah, we need all this socialist ideas put into state government. And then you got the other guy coming around saying, you know what? We got things are going really good. We don't need to be playing, you know, we don't need to monkey this up. We don't need to bring in monkey business. Oh, my goodness. That's a racist comment. I'm telling you nothing but a racist. Boy, you a racist. You know, the person who's saying it is thinking, what? What? How is... Oh, because I said monkey? Well, I'm sorry. I didn't. You know what? I thought you were adult enough to be able to take and understand the word in its context. Evidently, I was wrong. That's the whole point. Trust me, these folks know exactly in what context DeSantis was using the term monkey things up. They know exactly what he meant. But they decided that they were going to play the race card because they think it's going to be to their advantage. In other words, they're playing politics with this crap, folks. It has nothing to do with reality or truth. They're just playing politics, but they know exactly what DeSantis meant. They are purposefully taking him out of context. Knowingly and purposefully. And that is shameful. Because they don't even care that this is going to further damage the credibility of real racism when it rears its ugly head. They don't care. They don't care because, you know, for the most part, they really are the real racists. That's why they don't care. You know, people on the right side of the political aisle, we don't toss around and bandy about the term or word racist all the time because we take it seriously. And we understand that false allegations and twisting of the word and twisting of the meaning really only hurts the outing of real, honest racism. So now it is at the point when anybody says that, oh, that's a racist thing to say, or that's a racist idea, or that's a racist person, most of us will say, oh, really? Probably not. And I don't care what your skin color is. There are a lot of blacks now that just look around. Really, you're going to use the term racist again? Because the left has so damaged it. Playing politics with it, folks. They have so damaged the term. I mean, it is so damaged that even black people say, well, that's not racist. It probably isn't racist. Y'all probably lying about it again. We don't even take it seriously anymore. But see, those people who really are racist think that we still do, which is why they keep using the term and twisting it. Now white people can't even say the word monkey anymore, evidently. Because a racist will automatically think that monkey means black person and black person means monkey. Well, if the person who says it isn't even thinking that, then who's the racist? The person who's saying it, that it's racist. That's who the racist is. And who's saying it now? Oh, a bunch of Democrats, a bunch of leftists, a bunch of socialists. By the way, in history, who are some of the biggest racists on the planet? Yeah, socialist. Anybody notice that? How racist were socialist Nazis? You know, they were fascist socialist Nazis. How racist were they? They were so racist that they believed not only that were they the master race, that they believed everybody else, well, if you're not going to be a slave to us, then you could just might as well die. I mean, it's one thing to keep people in slavery and think that they're less than human. But to just systematically exterminate 12 million people because they didn't live up to your standard, at least even the South in this country didn't do that. And don't get me wrong, you know, slave days in this country were bad, and it didn't matter if a slave master killed one of his slaves. They could just say, well, it was for cause, man. And then they can get away with it. And it was no big deal. I get it. But they didn't systematically exterminate black people. Now, I don't know about you, but I think it's far worse to systematically round somebody up because of their name or their religion or their skin color and march them off and do all kinds of experiments and then put them in a gas chamber and put them in and kill them and then throw their bodies into mass graves and say, well, they weren't even human anyway because, you know, we're the master race, so we get to decide. They didn't even use them as slaves. Now, that's pretty damn racist. Again, I'm not giving any kind of comfort or aid to the slave days of the pre-1865 here in the USA. But honestly speaking, folks, who since that point in time when we went to war and people died to give other people freedom, and since that time we've had a bunch of socialists come up who said that Jews, gays, blacks, and non-Aryan people had no right to exist. And systematically exterminated. And for those of you who are Jewish, I'm sorry, I know the Holocaust was terrible, but the Holocaust as a whole included more than just 6 million Jews. The estimate is a total of 12 million people. So that the reason is that I bring it up because it makes them even worse. Do you understand this? You think that the Germans and the Nazis were bad enough by exterminating 6 million Jews? Well, how about exterminating 12 million people who they did not approve of? That's worse than just 6 million Jews. Believe it or not, that's showing some real racism there. And who do we got perpetrating the same kind of thought pattern today? Is it people on the right? Generally speaking, no. It's people on the left. And they just want to twist the words around, even knowing that the person doesn't mean what they just said the person meant. You know, we don't want to monkey around or monkey up our great state. Oh, racist! Racist because I want a good economy? I want the good economy to continue? That's racism? No, because you use the word monkey. Trust me, that's probably how it went down in Florida after he said that. He's thinking, what, I'm a racist because I want to keep the good economy going? And they had to inform, no, because you used the word monkey. Wait, so I'm not allowed to use the word monkey anymore, especially if my opponent is black. Now, that's just asinine. It really is asinine. So DeSantis' opponents are even Andrew Gillum. The Trump playbook isn't racist dog whistles, it's racist bullhorns. Oh, so now we've gone from, you know, quiet racism, dog whistle that only other racists can hear, to, well, that's what dog whistling is. You know, it's code that only other racists will pick up these sort of racist comments. That's why they call it dog whistling. So now Gillum is saying, well, now it's just not, you know, dog whistling where only other races will pick up on it. It's not code just for them. It's you know, like Al Sharpton bullhorning it. It's a good bullhorn now, man. It's just bullhorn racism. So that's what we're supposed to believe now. This is so now the word monkey is now not a dog whistle word, but it's a bullhorn word. And everybody who's on the center to the right is standing back, scratching their head, saying, what? Using the word monkey is now racist? It's kind of like saying, you know, it's kind of like taking a word out of the English language. Remember that word, that N-word, niggardly? Well, it sounds too much like the other N-word. Well, it may sound like it, but it ain't that word, and it doesn't have the same meaning. Well, we can't use it anymore because it's a racist word. What? Okay, when you're dealing with people with a limited education, you have to speak to them that way. Remember, I told you earlier this week, I think I said it, that you have, when you're writing stuff, you have to write at an eighth grade level, because far too many people in this country, that is their comprehension level, is eighth grade reading skills. They don't have high school or college reading skills. They have eighth grade reading skills and comprehension skills. So you have to write, you know, as if you were an eighth grader. Well, this is the same thing with everything else. When it comes to politics, you have to, you can't appeal to those who really are thoroughly and truly educated. You have to appeal to the masses, and those masses oftentimes tend to be eighth graders. So you can't use big words like niggardly. You can't use colloquial terms like monkey around or monkey business or monkey it up, because they're just going to make you think, they're going to get people to believe that it's a racist word. Now monkey automatically means black person. In a negative way. Well, there are some people, and it isn't just limited to black people, but there are some people that really do look like gorillas. I mean, their face looks like a gorilla. I'm sorry, but there are. And it's not just black. I've seen some white people look this way. Some Asians look this way. So if there is a, if they took pictures of all these people and put them next to gorillas, then that would convince a lot of people that we that we descend or ascended from apes, as it were. Because there are some people who look like gorillas. I'm not joking. They do. They just, they have the facial features and the skull shape of a great ape. They really do. And I've seen some Asians look like this. I've seen some white people look like this. I've seen you know, black people look like this. But it doesn't mean if you just say, well, you know what else is racist now? Evidently, the word gorilla. Yeah, not meaning the gorilla, but gorilla. No, there's one. One of the words is with an O, the other one's with a U. So I'm guessing gorilla marketing tactics, that's racist now too. They're going to have to change the name of their whole business model. I mean, this is how stupid this stuff is getting, folks, honestly. So guerrilla warfare is probably going to have to be changed to something else now. Because, hey, gorilla is gorilla, and gorilla means black people and gorilla together is a negative connotation, so that's racist, so you can't say it. Well, gorilla and gorilla are different things, different words meaning different things. It doesn't matter. It's just like niggardly. It sounds too close to the racist term, so you can't use it. This is the way this works, folks. And then we accept it. Well, many of us accept it because, you know, we scratch our head and say, I'm not even sure if it's even worth fighting this kind of ignorance. You can't. Because it's not, well, it's not ignorance, folks. It's just plain stupidity. You can fix ignorance with education. But these people do not even want to be educated. So that's just plain stupidity. See, you can show them the difference, and they don't want to know it. They don't want to know the truth. They don't want to be educated. That's just stupidity. That's not ignorance. And there's, and what the comedian Mr. White says, you can't fix stupid. And you can't. You just can't. By the way, have you seen this about on Twitter? I know this whole thing on Twitter is still continuing out there. Have you seen the what Twitter is doing now? They're testing a suggested list to unfollow. Yeah, an unfollow list. You know how they give you a suggested list of people to follow? And I always blast Twitter for this because they always suggest I follow a bunch of atypical, ultra-liberal Hollywood types. I don't follow celebrities at all. I mean, they're so rare. I mean, who's one of? I follow James Woods. Well, not because he's a celebrity, because I like his tweets and he's funny as hell, and he's damn truthful about it, about what he tweets. Now, that's why I follow him, not because he's James Woods the actor, but because he's James Woods, a great tweeter. And I don't follow a lot of celebrities. I mean, I follow the real Roseanne. That's about it. I remember. Well, I can't follow the other Rosie O'Donnell, because she's blocked me. I always find that interesting. You know, big time celebrities get offended by little time non celebrities like me. Ah, okay, I get that. Go ahead, block me, Rosie. I don't care. It's not that you'd see my tweets anyway, so the one time you did see it, you got somebody must have showed you or told you about it, which is why you blocked me. But yeah, so now they come up with this suggested list of people to unfollow. Now, that's kind of weird, because just last week, Twitter told me that I wasn't allowed to follow any more people, that I could only follow a maximum of 5,000 people, and that really was the rule for everybody. I'm like, really? How are people following you, like 200,000 people, if the rule is 5,000? And so then I tried to go and unfollow a few, and it said, you can't unfollow people at this time. So I couldn't follow anybody, and I couldn't unfollow anybody, yet my account wasn't locked. I could still tweet and do everything else. I just couldn't follow or unfollow anybody. So when I complained to Twitter, it says, well, you told me I couldn't follow more than 5,000 people. I'm trying to unfollow people so I can get down to your limit. You know what the response was? There's too much activity in your follow unfollow. Wait. Wait a minute. People are starting to follow me for whatever reason. You don't like that. So you come up with this excuse, I'm following too many people. If I want to follow somebody new that I find is, you know, fantastic and whatever, you tell me I can't follow them because I'm following too many people. Okay, so now I'm going to go and try to live up to your rules that you just told me and take out 1,500 people because I'm following 6,500 and you told me I'm only supposed to follow 5,000. So it means I got to get rid of 1,500 people. I'm trying to do that and you won't let me unfollow anybody? And then you're going to tell me because I'm still following too many people? Well, how the hell am I going to follow less people unless you don't allow me to unfollow them? And now you're going to give me an unfollow suggestion list? Y'all over on Twitter must be tripping. That makes no sense whatsoever. Y'all can't even make up your mind on what rules you want to... You make up new rules every single day. And then when people ask you about, well, okay, you just said I can't do this, so why won't you let me do this? Well, because you're doing too much of this. But you just told me that I have to do this, and now you won't let me do it. Because their little email told me that I had to unfollow people. So I go to unfollow them, and they say, well, you can't unfollow anybody. Well, wait a minute. You're telling me I'm following too many people. You tell me I have to unfollow people. I go to unfollow them. You tell me I'm not allowed to unfollow them. Can somebody please tell me how that circular reasoning actually works out to be, you know, logical? Or even illogical? It made absolutely no sense. And so it was so frustrating that I didn't even bother to respond. I just said, you know what? It's just Twitter. No, maybe in a few days it'll all go away and I'll be back to normal. But I can't reason with these people. You can't have a reasonable conversation. You can't get them to give you a truthful and reasonable explanation of why they're doing anything. Because if they did, you'd be able to fix the problem and then you'd no longer be, you know, running amiss of their rules. But if they don't tell you what you're doing is wrong and how to fix it, well, you're always going to be running amiss of their rules, so they get to do whatever they want with your account. Don't doubt me on that, folks. That's exactly how they're making it work. They're playing politics with you.
I'm not Rod Eccles, and I approve this message.
Tired of paying outrageous prices for Viagra? Well, we have great news for you. Now you can finally get Viagra at huge discounts. Healthy Man allows you to save up to $500 on Viagra. Why pay U.S. pharmacy prices of $15 per pill or more when you can get Viagra for less than $3 a pill? Call today and get 40 Viagra pills for only $99. This can cost as much as $600 at your local pharmacy. You can't afford not to call us. If you want Viagra at the lowest prices, never pay $15 a pill pharmacy prices again. Get Viagra for less than $3 a pill. Call 800-595-2614 today and save up to $500 and get 40 pills for just $99. Healthy Man is fast, easy, and affordable. Operators are waiting at 595-2614 to take your call now. Call 800-595-2614. That's 800-595-2614. Again, 800-595-2614.
We've all heard of male enhancement, but now there's an expert on true male enhancement in the areas that really count. In Herb Ellis's book, Husband 2.0, Real Male Enhancement, you'll find answers to questions like, why doesn't she want to have sex? A quick start, quick results workout guide. Plus, what you can do as a side hustle to make money now. With all the great tips in this book, every man can benefit. Get the book, Husband 2.0, Real Male Enhancement, on Amazon.com.
It started with a knock, but it wouldn't end there. What happens in the story next, many wouldn't understand, and most wouldn't believe. 5+2=Perfection by Samuel Rosett Jr. is a must-read. The scriptures within are reminders of the ancient past, and yet intriguingly infuses with texts which stand on the edge of the stage of relevancy. Available online at Westbow Press, Amazon, Books A Million, Barnes & Noble, and SamuelRosettJr.com.
This holiday season, help Soldiers for Stockings improve the morale and welfare of members of our armed forces deployed overseas. Now through November 20th, there is so much work to be done, and you can help in many ways. Download the stocking pattern from stockingsforsoldiers.org and start sewing today. Volunteer to help decorate and assemble stockings. Donate Christmas candies, snacks, nuts, chips, drink mixes, DVDs, books, magazines, lip balm, toiletries, and other items needed to fill the stockings. Or help make packets of snowman soup, hot chocolate to send along with the stockings. For more information, patterns, and a list of items needed, visit stockingsforsoldiers.org. This holiday season, help send our troops a touch of home. For many, it's all they will receive. All stockings need to be completed by November 20th. So get started today at stockingsforsoldiers.org. That's stockingsforsoldiers.org. Stockings for Soldiers, sending stockings filled with joy to our soldiers in harm's way for the 9th consecutive year.
If you're 85 or younger, would you like peace of mind and comfort for your family? We're Final Expense Direct with an urgent message for you. The average funeral today costs over $8,000, but the most you'll get from government benefits is $255. How will your family pay the difference? We can help. Our senior plans start as low as just a dollar a day and pay up to $30,000 for a funeral and other final expenses. Peace of mind is easy. There's no medical exam. You'll have lifetime coverage, and your plan can't be canceled as long as you pay your premiums. Call now for free information about our senior plans. Answer a few simple questions and receive approval right on the phone. Plus, call right now, and we'll give you a discount prescription card for free. Call 800-471-9742. That's 800-471-9742. Again, 800-471-9742.
Do you need a car? Been shopping only to be turned down because of bad credit, low credit, no credit, bankruptcy, or divorce? Guess what? Today's your lucky day, because now you can buy a car, truck, or SUV, just about any vehicle. It's true. Bad credit doesn't matter. No credit doesn't matter. Bankruptcy or divorce, it just doesn't matter. As a matter of fact, your job is your ticket to your new vehicle. We're Auto Credit Express, and we've helped thousands of people just like you. Antonio H. told us, great company, got me connected, and the day I went in, I drove off in the car I wanted. 100% worth your time. Need a car? Get started now and drive off as early as today. Just go to 7ignoremyscore.com right now. That's www.7ignoremyscore.com. Auto financing the easy way. 7ignoremyscore.com. Get started today. Auto financing the easy way.
Welcome back. One of the things that, it's really kind of strange if you actually look into what Twitter was doing when it comes to this whole, unfollow list crap thing. Well, let's take a look at exactly what they said. This is from The Verge. Twitter tested a feature that suggests users to unfollow as first spotted by The Next Web's Matt Navarra earlier yesterday. The test lasted for only a few days, and it has since concluded. Twitter says, we know that people want a relevant Twitter timeline. One way to do this is by unfollowing people they don't engage with regularly, reads a Twitter statement given to The Verge. We ran an incredibly limited test to surface accounts that people were not engaging with to check if they like to unfollow them. Now, hold on. This is more bullshit. I'm sorry, I call bullshit, because their algorithm, according to Twitter, just like Facebook, their algorithm would suggest that they are giving you tweets from people who you want to engage with and that you have engaged with most often. I know people often say, well, I don't get certain people's tweets that I want to get. I'm the same way. Do you know how I see the president's tweets? Now, I've been following the president I was following the president for a while, and then because I wasn't getting his tweets, the only way I saw his tweets is if somebody retweeted them. And I saw their retweet. But I didn't realize that at some point I'd unfollowed the president. I didn't unfollow him. At some point, so I followed him again. I still don't get his tweets. I still have to rely on either going to his page directly or getting people's retweets of the president's tweets. And now Twitter wants to tell me that they're going to suggest that I unfollow people that I don't regularly engage with. Well, I don't regularly engage with some people because you won't show me their damn tweets. Even when I want to see them, I can't because you won't put them in my feed. So I think your algorithm is a little screwed up because you're not supposed to get tweets that we're not interested in getting from people that we don't really engage with. Maybe that's why you have a 5,000-person limit that you don't enforce. Or maybe the reason why you didn't want me to unfollow people is because you wanted to suggest people that I unfollow, and probably some of those people you are going to unfollow for me like you did the president the last time you unfollowed him for me because I didn't unfollow him. But in any case, while seemingly innocuous at first, Twitter is currently embroiled alongside other social networks and technology companies in a controversy over perceived liberal bias. Well, I think that liberal bias has come home to roost because today on Google Chrome, I'm not kidding you folks, Google Chrome. Now, I use Chrome and Firefox. Now, Firefox, for whatever reason, on this particular, on the broadcast computer, is slow. I don't know why. It's just slow. On my other computers, Firefox is fast, brilliant, no problems. But on this one, for some reason, it's slow. So I have to, in order to do the program, I have to use Chrome. Well, today, Chrome will not let me star or favorite or bookmark any site that we would construe, that we, us, would construe as being right-leaning. Oh, I can't bookmark any hot air story right now. It crashes Chrome. But if I go to the Huffington Post, otherwise known as HuffPo, oh, I can star that and favorite that, bookmark that all day long. And I just did. No crash. If I try to do hot air, Google Chrome has never crashed on any of my computers. Today it has crashed 5 times. So, and this follows in the heel. Well, Google is trying. Well, we don't favor leftist sites over. Really? Now, maybe it's just a coinkadink. When it comes to leftists, I don't believe in coincidences. I just find it absolutely funny that I can bookmark a story from Huffington Post, but I can't bookmark a story from Hot Air because it crashes the browser. Y'all must be think we stupid. Again, I don't know why this particular computer, this broadcast computer, has a tough time with, it's Windows 8 on there. Does anybody know if Firefox has a problem with Windows 8? Because we went from Windows 8 to what, Windows 10? Yeah, well, I don't know. And, it's 8 point something, 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 because every other day they have an update. Who knows? Actually, I have my Windows XP laptop probably works better than this Windows 8. And they don't even support XP anymore. That's because it's considered one of the best Windows versions ever is XP. And it's still working just fine in that computer, but because it's not supported, a lot of programs like Spreaker will not allow me to broadcast using that computer because it doesn't recognize XP. I can't update all the Spreaker information because they don't support XP anymore either. So that's why I can't use that one. Otherwise I would, but I can't. And so, because other websites and software companies don't support XP anymore either. So if they get an update and you try to, we can't update. No, you can't update to our new version. We don't support the old version, blah, blah, blah. So, you got to, please upgrade your... They all say the same thing. Please upgrade your operating system. Oh, yeah, let's just go right out there and spend the money to upgrade an operating system so I could use your website. That's the answer, man. That's the answer. So I have to use this in order to broadcast. I have to use this one. And it's more convenient to use one than have to move around and try to use two or three computers while I'm doing a broadcast. But if I'm going to have to do that, then I'm going to have to do that. No joke. Because now today anyway, I don't know if it's going to be this way tomorrow, but today for some reason I cannot bookmark anything that would be, that you and I would obviously construe as being right-leaning. I can't bookmark any story from Hot Air, but I can bookmark stories from a couple of stories I've already bookmarked from Huffington Post. No problem. Doesn't crash the system. Not at all. Nope. Hot Air. Oh my God. That yep. Gone. Chrome is gone. Crash. And they want us to believe that they're not being biased in any way whatsoever. That all of this stuff that appears to be biased is just a coincidence. It's just surface. It doesn't mean anything. It's not real. It's all in our heads. Really? So even to the point where Twitter is testing something new, and their reason is something that they say their algorithm already does for us in the first place. We only give you stories that seem to be important to you because you indicate by your use of Twitter what's important to you, and we only give you, and then you don't give us those tweets that we think are important from people that we want to follow, and yet you always suggest we follow a bunch of people that we'd never want to hear from in the first place. I don't care. How many times have I got to put an X on Darlene from Roseanne? Every week, Twitter suggests I follow her. And every week I say, nope. No interest. Oh, but you'd be interested. No, I would not be interested in her. I'm not interested in following her. If she actually says something important, that's worthwhile, somebody else is going to retweet it and I'll see the retweet. I don't need to follow the bitch. Sorry, yeah, that's what I called her. Don't need to follow her. Any more than I need to follow Bill Maher. I follow Bill Maher. I don't. Why the hell would I follow that racist jackass? You know, I don't need to follow Bill Maher. If he actually says something worthwhile, somebody else is going to retweet it and I'll see it. The point is that they're trying to force you to follow and listen to people. I guarantee you, if I were to start following Bill Maher, his tweets would always end up at the top of my feed every time I logged in. How much you want to bet? But yet, I cannot get the President of the United States tweets in my feed. I can't get, I want them. I followed the man twice. They're still not in my feed. And, well, you got to scroll down. I scroll down. As many tweets as the president has, you would think at least one of them would pop up. None. The only time I see President Trump's tweets in my feed is when somebody else that I also follow retweets them. And half the time, because the president can be long-winded on tweets, I got to go and go back to his page in order to read the whole tweet, because it could be two or three tweets equals one tweet type of thing. And I only get to see one, and I'm like, what the hell is he talking about? So I got to read all three. And I only get to do that by going directly to his page, and the only reason I know it's there is because somebody else has retweeted one of the three tweets. And then they want to tell me, well, maybe you should follow these people so you get, because you'd be more interested in them. I'm not interested in them. They're big-time leftist celebrities. Not interested. Now, how does James Woods equal Bill Maher? I don't know how they get... if they want to talk celebrity, how does James Woods equal Bill Maher? I don't know how that works. Somehow, it's the equivalent in Twitter's mind. I can guarantee you, but... I'm sitting here thinking, I don't know where the hell they're coming from with that. Speaking of which, I don't know where they're coming from with this. Los Angeles is about to name a new street, or give a street a new name. Obama Boulevard. I'm not kidding. This is from Urban Hollywood 411. Never heard of this publication before, but evidently former President Barack Obama will soon have his name permanently etched on a Los Angeles street. After months of planning and debate, the city council voted 15-0 Tuesday to change the name of Rodeo Road, or Rodeo Road, to Obama, but not Rodeo Drive. It's two different ones, right? It's Rodeo. It's actually Rodeo. But it's in California. It's L.A. It has to be pronounced more, shall we say, upper crusty. So I don't know if it's pronounced Rodeo Road or Rodeo Road. They're going to change it to Obama Bullet. Now, it took them months to figure this out. The vote was 15-0 to change the name, but it took a month to do this. Well, no wonder that state and that city's in such a mess. It takes them months to just to change the name of a street. It's not that easy, right? Yeah, it is that easy. The problem is the people who actually live on the street or the businesses that are on the street, well, now they got to get used to the new name. And, of course, you got to notify the Postal Service. But all that stuff is not all that difficult. It definitely doesn't take months. But after months of planning and debate, the city council voted 15-0 to change the name of Rodeo Road to Obama Boulevard. We're thrilled that Angelenos and visitors will forever be reminded of the legacy of President Barack Obama when traveling across L.A. So said Los Angeles Mayor Eric Garcetti. Oh, yeah, we are going to be reminded every time we're on Obama Boulevard of how bad the economy was, how bad our world stature was. We're going to be reminded of all that negative stuff just before we elected Donald Trump. Yes. You know, the half-black, half-white man was in the White House with that big grin and big smile and, you know, and big mouth and big ego. Well, as far as actual size of mouth, Obama did have a rather large upper hole. Well, yeah, we have to say, we have to use the new terms. We got the front hole, back hole, extended hole, and upper hole. I don't know, what do they call the ears? Are those the side holes? I don't think they included ears in anything, but maybe because they don't think you can stick anything. You can't stick anything in the ears. Well, I've heard of people doing some pretty nasty stuff, by the way. So you can stick some stuff in the ear. But so I don't know if those are called side holes or not. They didn't mention that. We should ask about the ear holes. Sorry, I had to go there. You know I did. It's official. Our city council has voted to rename Rodeo Road to Obama Boulevard. Now, this is not the same as Rodeo Drive, right? Yeah, to be frank with you, I'm not sure. I'm not clear on this. Is Rodeo Drive now the famous Rodeo? Is that road or is that really drive? Yeah. Well, cities do this sometimes where they have, you know, they have a particular road that's named, let's say it's Front Street. Or Park Street. That's a famous one. You can have a Park Street and a Park Ave. And they're two different streets. Honestly. So I don't know if there is a Rodeo Road and a Rodeo Drive. I could have had Rodeo Drive wrong all these years. It could have actually been Rodeo Road. I don't know. I don't even know where Rodeo Road is. If it is Rodeo Drive, then I know where it is. If it's Rodeo Road, I have no clue. We're thrilled, and if it's to remind people of the legacy, then why don't they take a famous street or a street close to a famous street, you know, like Sunset Boulevard, name that Obama Boulevard. I bet you'd have even Angelenos who would be throwing up their hands on that one. Now, City Council President Herb Wesson actually proposed the name change. Last year, at the time, he noted Obama held a campaign rally on Rodeo Road when he was running for president. Ah, here's the story. It has confirmed and clarified for me. Not to be confused with Rodeo Drive in Beverly Hills, Rodeo Road runs through L.A. So Rodeo Drive is technically in Beverly Hills. That's also a little bit confusing to me because isn't Beverly Hills actually considered to be part of Los Angeles? Well, if that's so, then how does Beverly Hills have its own police department and mayor, right? It has its own mayor, right? Beverly Hills? Maybe it doesn't. It's not like the boroughs of New York City. You don't have, you know, the Queens Police Department and the Manhattan Police Department. It's the New York City Police Department. But in L.A., it's different. You got the Beverly Hills Police Department, which evidently has got a lot of technical stuff versus the rest of L.A., which doesn't. And of course, you got Hollywood, which is supposed to be a neighborhood, just like Beverly Hills is supposed to be. But Beverly Hills is a separate neighborhood, where Hollywood is just a neighborhood in L.A. I don't get how it works over there. I've never been there, and I really don't care. I mean, but it's a little confusing, which is why I was confused with Rodeo Road versus Rodeo Drive. But Rodeo Drive is in Beverly Hills, and Beverly Hills is a part of, but isn't a part of L.A., unlike Hollywood and Rodeo Road, which is in L.A. You figure it out. I bet you people who live in L.A. don't even fully understand it. The road is located near President's Row, a series of streets named after former U.S. presidents, including Washington Boulevard, Adams Boulevard, and Jefferson Boulevard. So Obama is going to be included with these great presidents. We don't have a Reagan Boulevard, evidently, out there in L.A. I'm just saying, I don't know. I just find it interesting that they want to rename a street Obama Boulevard. And on all president streets, are named boulevards? Are they really boulevards? But anyway, there you go. Obama's getting his own street named after him in Los Angeles, California. Just SMH. SMH, people. SMH. Olive oil may give a boost better than Viagra, the scientists suggest. Yeah, here's the story, and this is from thetelegraph.uk. Olive oil could be better than Viagra at helping men perform in the bedroom. A study of more than 600 men found that those who consumed plenty of it had far fewer problems with their sexual performance. Researchers said a diet rich in olive oil keeps blood vessels healthy, maintaining circulation in every part of the body. Those who consumed at least 9 tablespoons of it weekly were far less likely to suffer from impotence than those who ate less of it, and had significantly higher levels of testosterone. Well, I guess there's hey, ladies, if your man is underperforming in the bedroom right now, don't go out and run out and get him some Viagra, or start feeding him some olive oil. You know, it's easy to get olive oil into the diet. You know, you cook with it, you put it on your salads, you pour it, you know, as a dressing over a bunch of different stuff. You can eat, in some cases, you can even use olive oil as a replacement for butter. People have done that. Use it as a part of a dipping sauce base. You know, you put some herbs into some olive oil, and you have some Italian for dinner. You dip the bread in the olive oil. Oh, that's actually very good stuff, actually. I mean, good olive oil. It's not hard to replace or to get that much olive, you know, 9 measly tablespoons into your weekly diet. Some people may say that seems like a lot, but it's not hard to do. You could use a tablespoon easily, 2 tablespoons easily as a salad dressing. Hey, it's supposed to help out in the bedroom. And it's supposed to keep your arteries clear, so it makes their heart able to, you know, a guy's heart to be able to withstand it. Well, why do you think that it's so few Mediterranean men have heart attacks during sex? Well, it's because they eat an awful lot of olive oil. And you don't hear about them having troubles in the bedroom. Just saying. So if you don't want to use Viagra, by the way, there's always seems to be a natural remedy to stuff. I'm not one. People who listen to this program know I'm not one of those overbearing naturalists, is what they call it, natural nutritionists, whatever. But I do know that there are some natural alternatives to a lot of stuff that of drugs that we have massive side effects to. And there are all kinds of side effects of some of these other drugs, including a story here about yoga could be as effective as a pill at cutting your blood pressure, so suggests a new study. Yoga. Go try some yoga if you need to bring your blood pressure down. Instead of using one of those drugs advertised on TV that has a list of side effects a half mile long. Maybe we should start listing side effects to politicians, too, whenever they run. You know, vote for this person, but side effects include socialism. We can go to, yeah, might even give you a heart attack, too.
You're listening to The Rod Eccles Show. Let truth be told.
See that cute little dog in the pet store window? Chances are it came from a puppy mill. A breeding facility that forces caged, neglected, and often sick dogs to churn out puppy after puppy to be sold for profit. Meanwhile, millions of wonderful, healthy